enjoyed Sunday school time. Hope that those that were here got some help out of that. But it's good to be in, let me be careful. I want to start out by not being honest. Yeah, that's it'd be great to be here if it wasn't so cold. Amen. I might as well be honest. Amen. I told them in Sunday school, I tell folks I own it, I admit it, I'm a winter sissy. I do not like the cold weather. We don't get along. I grew up down the Houston area, so I can take the heat, but that cold just gets me. So y'all pray for me, that the weather will change quickly, amen, and that all this 20 stuff will go away. And I know y'all have been through some awful weather this winter, and it seems like it won't end. Amen. We just got back to Illinois, let's see, a week ago. Monday, is that right? Tuesday. Last Tuesday we got back to Illinois from down south, and it was hard to leave there knowing that where I was headed. So, but I'm glad to be here, glad that the Lord had used me. Amen. Well, it's good to see all you folks. I want to thank you, preacher, for allowing us to be able to come and to be able to fill the pulpit for him while he's gone. Been praying for him. I look forward to when we'll be back here. Let's see, it's March the 31st through April the 3rd. Please, you be here. I promise we will give you some help. I'd said some of the things in Sunday school, folks. I'm so burdened for our nation. We are in desperate trouble, and I think we're just, as Christians, it feels like to me we're just kind of floating down the river and, you know, que sera, sera. And, folks, we cannot be like that. We cannot. Not if we're going to rescue our nation. We've got to get back to being a vocal, a very forward with our Christianity. Got to get bold again. We used to, and to me, Independent Baptist, when I think of that term, we were very bold, aggressive about the things of God at one point, and I think we've gotten comfortable and kind of backed off. And so I pray that you'll just determine in that meeting in the end of this month, 1st of April, that you'll be there. Some things that we'll be able to give you, I believe, that will help our nation. And so, looking forward to it. Pray for us as we go to Brother Chad's. We'll be there for 2.5 weeks. I believe that's right. But pray for us that the Lord is help us. We'll be staying, though, here at y'all's church that whole time. So, we appreciate your hospitality. Take your Bible, if you would. Revelation chapter 2 this morning. I see I have a crowd to compete with. Let me encourage you to go by the book table over there. A lot of different books, everything from discipleship, soul winning, doctrine, books for teenagers. And we carry books with us. We don't make anything on those, but what we want to do is this. We want to be a help, especially to small churches that don't have access. I see y'all have some books out there for sale, and that's great. But a lot of folks don't have access to good material, and we carry those with us to give folks access. Brother Coral, Brother James Wilkins, Brother Jerry Ross, my pastor, Brother Angel, Miss Angel, Brother Jeff Fugit all have books that they've written over there. So please, if you would, go by there. Get one of our cards. Please get one of our prayer cards. We cannot do what God's called us to do without the people of God praying for us. I'll just be honest with you, and I've said this during Sunday school. Folks, I'd love to have a three-bedroom, two-bath house and just be able to stay somewhere. I've worked in the ministry now for over 30 years, 20 years working for other men as everything from a bus director, Sunday school director, assistant pastor, associate pastor, pastored for 10 years, and then 5 years ago we started Ambassador Baptist Ministries. I had pastored a small church that we ended up closing the doors. Folks, that's probably the hardest thing I've ever done in the ministry is have to close the doors of a church. I can say now it is a Spanish church down there in the Houston area. It was desperately needed, but still it was hard for us. But God used that to burden our heart for small churches. And so, I'd love to be able to be in a home and just to be an average Christian. But can I tell you, we cannot afford to be average Christians right now. Just can't. Not if we love our nation. And so, anyway, Revelation chapter 2, if you have that, let's stand in honor of reading God's Word. Revelation chapter 2. This is what I'm going to do. I'll just read a couple of verses, and then I'll let you sit down. But there's seven letters here to seven churches, as we read in Revelation chapter 2 and in chapter 3. I'm just going to read, if you would, the greeting to each letter, and then the first sentence of the body of the letter. And I want you to do this. I want you to look for what is common in each one of those letters as we read those. I'm going to read a couple of verses, then I'll let you sit down. We'll read the rest of it. Revelation chapter 2, verse 1. If you have that, say amen, wave at me, do something. Let me know you're there. You got it? All right. The Bible says, "Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars." Let's pray, and then we'll look at the message. Father, please. Lord, I need you today. God, I pray that, Father, you would help me. Holy Spirit, that you would direct the thoughts of my mind. Lord, I'm here as your servant, and I want to be a help. I want to be a blessing. I want to be an encouragement. God, the truth is I can do nothing without you. And so I'd ask you, please fill me with the Holy Spirit of God. Fill the hearers with the Holy Spirit. Give them ears to hear and a heart to understand. God, we just need your presence this morning. Direct me as I preach. Use me for your glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. Chapter 2, if you would, drop down to verse 8. It says, "And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things saith he," or "these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan." Now, verse 12. "And to the angel of the church in Pergamos write, these things saith he which hath the sharp sword with two edges. I know thy works, and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. And thou holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith." Drop down to verse 18. "Unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know thy works, and charity, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works, and the last to be more than the first." Now, chapter 3 and verse 1. "Unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven or spirits of God and the seven stars, I know thy works, that thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead." Verse 7. "Now the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth, I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it." Now down to verse 14 for the last. "And he said unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the true, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot, I would thou wert cold or hot. What do you see is the common thing there in each one of the letters? As we get through the greeting, we go to the body of the letter. What is the thing that we find in common? I know thy works. Folks, on God's calendar, I'm sure you folks have been taught well that the next big event on God's calendar is this. You and I, as the people of God, will be caught up out of here in the rapture. Amen? That trumpet's going to sound. I don't know about you. I look forward to that trumpet sounding. Amen? Getting caught up out of here. And I don't know. It may not be right, but I'm on out of this mess. Amen? And so it'll be an exciting time. But that trumpet will sound. You and I'll be caught up to heaven. And then what's the next thing that's going to happen? Y'all help me out. Somebody said it. What is it? Come on now. Y'all don't be scared. I'm just a fella now. Y'all help me out. As soon as the rapture takes place, then what happens? Well, that's here on earth. What happens in heaven? No, that's it. You're close. It's the judgment seat of Christ. Great white throne judgment is for the lost. That'll be at the end of the millennial reign, all right? But for now, it'll be the judgment seat of Christ. Now, listen, we will not be judged for sin at that great... Now, you've got me saying it, brother. At the judgment seat of Christ, we'll not be judged for sin, amen or not. What are we going to be judged for? Our works. Listen, do you get the impression from what we just read? God cares about our works. Amen or not? He is, in fact, I would go this far to say, listen, He's watching each one of us and is concerned about our works. Listen, once you got saved, that's forever. Amen? And we talked about it in Sunday school. You ought to live a life that glorifies God, one that where He has the preeminence, one that others would look at you and say, hey, that is a Christian. They ought to see great things in our life because of Christ and because we are saved. But understand, God says this. God said, hey, I don't care about how you live, but I care about what you're doing. Now that you're saved, what are you doing? And he tells these churches, and by the way, churches are not just institutions. What are churches? People. They're people. They're people. So understand, if today you sit here and you're saved and you're a member of First Baptist Church, you are the church. These walls, this building, is not the church. You can have church without a building. Amen? But understand, so God said, look, church, I know thy works. I'm watching. According to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, you and I one day will stand there at that judgment seat, and He's going to ask about our works. And specifically, too, He's going to ask about the motive for our works. Listen, I just say this as we pass by it, but listen, don't get caught up in just doing what you do for Christ because of duty. Don't do it out of duty. Amen. But understand, we need to work for Christ. Now, go back, if you would, to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. And I want to just quickly establish what is then the work of God. And what works are we to be performing? What is the primary thing? Why? Man, we could ask it this way. Why are we here as a church? I mean, if God doesn't have something for us to do, then why not just, when you get saved, knock us in the head and go on and take us to heaven? Amen? No, He's got something for us to do. Now, and you and I, as saved people, how many of you are saved? Let me see. You're saved and all right. Now, listen, if you're saved, then God has a work for you to do. All right. Now, over here in Acts chapter 2, I want to establish a few things. First, this. It's the people of the work. Acts chapter 2, verse 1, it says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were, what's that next word? What? With one accord in one place. Now, that word all, this is deep. I learned this in Bible college, and y'all have heard it, I'm sure. All means all, and that's all that all means. Amen? If I said everybody, all of you, raise your hand, let me see that happen, all right? All of you, raise your hand. I'm watching now. What, all right, yeah, look, y'all got it. Everybody raised their hand. All is all. Isn't it amazing that all these folks were there? Understand though, the church, the people of the work is this. It's the church. So if you just raised your hand, you are the people of the work. Amen or not? So I'm just a retarded Texan. Amen. Y'all can say amen right there. Be all right. I can take it. I want you to get a hold of this now. If you just raised your hand, now that means you are to be working for Christ. Amen. Say amen right there. Owe me one. All right? All right? Y'all got that? Now, so what is the work, though? How do we define what is the work? Well, go to verse 6, if you would. Acts 2, verse 6. Now, when this was noised abroad, let me just stop and so we hang on to the context here. The Holy Spirit had come. Everybody at church was filled with the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that God gave them that day the gift of tongues so that they could talk to these other folks that were there that did not understand the Galilean language. And so, and by the way, tongues is not some Astala Shanaha, Kawasaki, Azuki, Yamaha, she came on a Honda. Amen? That is not, tongues never was some kind of gibberish that could not be understood. It is always, 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 always been known languages. Amen? And so that has happened. And understand now, verse 6, now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded because that every man heard, what's that next word? Them speak in his own language. Who's that them? That them is the 120 it talks about back there in verse 15 in chapter 1. See, they are the church at First Baptist of Jerusalem. Say amen right there. Listen, it was a Baptist church. Amen. We need your dad here, amen. They'd shout amen a little louder. Listen, it is a Baptist church. Jesus was baptized by a Baptist, amen. Never moved his letter, amen. So, here we have the First Baptist Church of Jerusalem. They are out in the streets of Jerusalem talking to people about what? Well, verse 11 tells us, Cretans and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. Now, what more wonderful work of God is there than the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ and the redemption of his people? See, man, get the context of what's going on here in Acts chapter 2. They had followed Christ for 3.5 years. Man, seeing miraculous things. He's now been crucified. They watched him go through that. The third day, he rose again. Can you imagine they have gone from the lowest of lows to the highest of highs spiritually? And now they are so excited. They have, for the last 40 days, according to Acts chapter 1, verse 3, for the last 40 days, from time to time, they have seen Christ and talked with him about the things of the kingdom. Then, for 10 days, they have a prayer meeting in the upper room. We come to the day of Pentecost. It's Sunday, all right? And they are so excited that the people of God are out in the streets of Jerusalem talking to people about what has just happened. What happened? Man, the one that they knew was the Savior that they had crucified, that literally they had taken and nailed to that old tree. Listen, he is now risen again, and they are so excited. They cannot help but get out in the streets of Jerusalem and tell somebody about it, so that 3,000 folks get saved and baptized on that Sunday. And all of it said, and then we heard, every man heard them speak. Listen, it wasn't Peter's preaching that got 3,000 saved that day. It's the 120 church members. Excited church members. On fire. Sold out. They had seen the risen Christ. And they could not help but get out and tell somebody about it. 3,000 get saved. Man, Peter's typical preacher, amen? I mean, good night, you start gathering up a crowd like that, I'm going to preach, amen? Any good preacher is going to say, hey, folks, y'all look this way. Take your Bible, turn to, amen, and Peter preaches, great message, but it wasn't his preaching that got them saved. It's those soul winners out there, amen? So understand, the people of the work is the church. The work that is to be done is to get out into the streets and tell people. What are they to tell them? Of the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want to preach on this morning. We've got about, I've got 13 minutes after 11. Is that right? Is that what y'all got? Amen? Amen? All right. So we've got just next hour and 45 minutes. Okay, we've got next little while. I want to preach on this, how to support the work of God. How to support the work of God. Number one, if you would, turn to Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12. How are we going to support the work of God? By the way, no doubt it is the most important work here on the planet Earth. Amen? Yes. It ought to be the most important work that any Christian is involved in. But if we're going to be involved in that work, how are we going to support it? Mark chapter 12, if you would, look down to verse 29. It says, "And Jesus answered him, 'The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. This is the first commandment.'" Can I say, the first thing, if we're going to support the work of God, is to fall in love with God. To fall in love with Him. Can I say this? You're not going to fall in love with Him short of this book right here. Christian, listen to me, Christian. Hey, there, you and I ought to spend daily time with our nose in this book trying to get to know who the man of this book is. And to fall in love with Him. Not only is the Creator, but He's the Savior. He's the one that we preach about, the one we sing about, the one that redeemed us. Understand, He is the central focus, whether it's the Father, the Son, or the Holy Spirit of God. They are the central focus of this book. And you and I, of all things in this life, ought to learn to just fall in love with Him. Listen, I remember when I met Miss Debbie and decided that I thought I'd start calling her and talking to her. We both worked at the church there. I was in Bible college, but she was working there at the church. And so I was upstairs, though. She was downstairs. And though we'd see each other from time to time during the day, I'd spend a little time with her. But I'd do this. Back then, we didn't have cell phones, amen, so I'd have to get to the house. I'd pick up the phone and I'd dial that thing and I'd call her. Yeah, I'd dial. But if I do that, they won't know what I'm doing. Amen. And I'd call her and you know how we are, fellas. I mean, you talk for a little while and then you run out of things to say. Amen. That's just the way it is. And now they can talk on forever. Say amen right there, fellas. Help me out. Don't leave me hanging there. But, yeah, I'd call and I'd talk to her, and oh, is Miss Debbie on the other end? Oh. And then I'd run out of things to say. But you know what I didn't do? I didn't hang up. I just sit there and listen to her breathe. Why? Because I was in love. Love makes you do stupid things, amen? Oh, that's Miss Debbie. I didn't want to hang up. I just want to spend time with her. Are you like that with this book? Just want to hang out with him. I mean, does the preaching just thrill your heart because you get to learn a little bit more about him? I'm talking about, are you really in love with him, or you just kind of know him? See, there's a difference in knowing him and really being in love with him. See, you can have a casual relationship. You can be saved and not be in love. You can know him and not be in love. But I'm telling you, you'll never do anything great for God until you fall in love with him. How are you going to support the work? First thing I'm telling you is fall in love with him. Just fall in love with him. Man, it says this, set your affections on things above. Listen, our affections ought to be on him, who he is, how he thinks. What does he have to say about this subject or that? How does he care for people? And he doesn't care if they're red, yellow, black, or white. He doesn't care if they're rich or poor. He doesn't care if they're from the north or the south. He's just in love with them. You know, we ought to be the same. But we've got to get to know him. And you are not going to get to know him short of getting in this book. And by the way, I'm not talking about just a surface getting in this book. I'm telling you this. If you're going to get to know him, you're going to have to get in here and scratch around and find some of the deep things of God. See, you're not going to have a casual relationship with him and really fall in love with him. Some of us, that's where we are. I mean, we just kind of have a casual relationship. We can read our Bible or not. It doesn't really matter. I mean, we know it's best. We know we ought to read our Bibles. We know it's best to read our Bibles. But to really actually do that every day, Brother Scott, you're just asking a little bit too much, aren't you? I don't think so. Not if you're going to fall in love with him. And I already said it, love will make you do some crazy things. Amen. I found myself, Brother Alex, doing some weird things when I was in love with Miss Debbie. Things that I didn't think I'd ever do. Want to go down the park and just sit down the park. Huh? Who wants to go to the park and sit around the park? Well, Miss Debbie was there. That changed the whole thing. Who wants to go to church, just sit around? Well, God's there. I won't go down there. We sing that song, but I wonder if we really mean it. More about Jesus would I know. More of his grace to others show. More of his saving fullness see. More of his love who died for me. More about Jesus. More. Tell me more about Jesus. More of his saving fullness see. More of his love who died for me. Are you in love with him this morning? You're going to support the work of God. First thing you're going to have to do is fall in love with him. Second thing you're going to have to do is back there in Acts chapter 2. We looked at it already. Won't have you go back there. But remember how those folks just got excited? I'm afraid that sometimes I'm afraid of steps too. So let me get down here and then I'll talk to you again. All right, there. Listen. I think sometimes we read the book, but we just kind of read past what's really going on. We do. We just read and it's just words. But understand where these people are in Acts chapter 2. They have been with Jesus for the last 3.5 years. They have seen not just amazing things, they have seen miraculous things. And I'm talking about people that, remember the 10 lepers that were healed? Only one of them comes back and is grateful for that. Boy, that's a sorry bunch. But man, can you imagine that? I mean, they're full of leprosy and are healed. The blind see. Remember, he makes the mud pie and he puts it on the guy's eyes and tells him, now go down and wash. And he comes back and man, the guy can see. The fellow sitting by the roadside And Jesus is coming by. He begins to ask people, what's going on? It's Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus! Jesus! Over here! Help me! Shh, be quiet, be quiet. Jesus! Man, I believe if it would have been us sitting there, we'd be just like him, amen? Thinking this guy might be able to give me my sight back. I believe I'm going to get a little bit loud, amen? Can't do that in church, though. Let's be dignified. Amen. Yes, you know. I remember the time when the fellow, he's deaf. Amen. Jesus takes him, spits on his fingers. I won't do it, brother. I never have figured out why Jesus spit first on his fingers. Then he puts it in the guy's ears, you know, wet willy or something. But the guy comes away, he's hearing. Amen. They have seen stuff like this. Remember the widow woman that's burying her son? Jesus comes through town. There's the widow woman. It's her only son. And they're taken to bury him. And as they Jesus passes by, he reaches up. He touches the bier. That's the casket for you folks that thought it was B-E-E-R. Amen. You can get right with the Lord right there. He reaches up, touches the bier. The fella sits up and begins to speak. Now, I don't know about you. If I'm the pallbearer, I just drop my side. I'm gone. I'm scared of dead people talking. Amen? Huh? But the guy sits up and he begins to talk. I mean, I don't know about you. Remember Jairus' daughter? Man, they'd laugh at him. They'd make fun of him. I believe he did that on purpose. Oh, she just sleep. They said, you're an idiot. Yeah, she's dead. We saw her. So he takes mom and dad and a couple of the apostles. They go in the room, and she comes out alive. Can you imagine, man, people floored, amazed. Lazarus, I don't know how that guy, whether he levitated out of that tomb, whether he's doing the bunny hop or what, you know. I don't know, but I know he got out of there. And when he did, I mean, people are amazed. I mean, he's been there. He stinks, Jesus. Leave him alone. Amen. But here he comes, alive. They have seen that for 3.5 years. Now he's dead. But then he's alive. Man, I don't know about you, but when Sunday came and I see him risen, remember, just the story, I've got to hurry, but y'all need to listen faster. They buried him. They had to do it quickly because of the Sabbath is coming. They have to get him in the grave quickly so that they are not defiled, so that they can partake of the Passover. So they hurriedly get him into the tomb that evening, and they come back on Sunday to put spices and stuff on him, so when they come, Mary and some of the other women, some of the apostles have gone down there. The apostles leave. Then they see the two fellows in white. It's angels sitting there. They tell them, hey, he's not here. Tell his brethren. He told them he'd meet them in Galilee. He's going to do that. Then everybody leaves but Mary. And Mary's sitting there. And Jesus shows up. And he just says one word. She thinks it's the gardener until he says, Mary. I don't know about you, but what a time that must have been when Mary realized, that's my Savior. It's Him. He's alive. He's alive. He's real. Jesus. And she falls at His feet. Listen, I do not believe this happened at that point, that she says, wow, this is amazing. I better go tell the apostles. I don't think it happened anything like that. I think she's so excited. She runs back to the apostles. Fellas, I saw him. He's alive. I talked with Jesus. He called my name. He's alive. Fellas, he's not dead. He's not in that tomb. He's alive. And they look at her and really they'd say, at Mary, she's a little... I mean, she's out there a little bit, you know. She just, upset over the death of Jesus. But then Peter and John have a foot race, get back to the tomb. Bible says John got there first. Peter, though, in the way that he is, he pushes the guy out of the way. He goes all the way in the tomb. No Jesus. But then when they see him for that first time, dumb Thomas, he's not in that church like he should have been. But they see him. They are so excited. So thrilled. They cannot help but on the day of Pentecost get out and begin to tell people about this Savior is risen. Yes, he was crucified, but he's risen again. They were so thrilled and so excited. You know what I think's wrong with us? We've lost the wonder of it all.
Yeah.
It's just some story to us now. Oh, we hear it all the time. Where's your excitement about the work? Where's the excitement about getting on a bus and going picking up some kids for the Lord Jesus? Amen. Where's your excitement about getting out there and you cannot help but tell somebody about the Lord Jesus Christ? I don't care whether it's just down to bank or down to grocery store, run up here to Dixon, go to Walmart. Where's your excitement? When's the last time you got so excited you could not help but tell somebody? Here, let me give you this. Don't you miss heaven. It'd be an awful thing you miss heaven. Sometimes just a simple word like that and just give them a try is all you have time to do. But how come you can't just do that? What's wrong with us that we are so, it's become so commonplace and we're not excited anymore about the work? And if you're going to support the work, you're going to have to get excited about the work. See, you get excited about the work, you'll get on your knees again about the work. Begin to pray again, oh God. Give Pastor Fritz the fire of God. God, help him when he mounts that pulpit that he'll be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. God, I've got to have something. God, to keep my fire going. God, I want my church to be a sold out, separated, on fire. God, used of you in our nation. By the way, I still see it in the book. It still says little as much when God's in it. Don't tell me that this church can't affect our nation. It can. But we are so, so formal anymore, so dead anymore. It's a wonder that God will even show up. Amen. Look at me like that. Where's our excitement? We've fallen into duty. How to support the work of God? Can I say you need to be faithful to the work? Remember it said back there in Acts chapter 2 and verse 1, and they were all with one accord in one place. Turn, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 10. I started to look at this during Sunday school, but I wanted to wait. Hebrews chapter 10. I'm talking about everybody being in their place at church time. Now, listen, I understand this more. Brother Rex's wife was sick. Listen, if you're sick and got a fever and contagious, don't come down here and spread it around. Amen? I get that. Stay at the house. But listen, if you just got a big toe ache or you got a little upset stomach, get down here. You can be sick down here just as well as you can down at the house. And I promise you this, you'll feel a whole lot better when you leave. Amen? Just, I don't know what it is. Just something about it. God just works that thing out. But listen, look at it. Hebrews chapter 10, I'm going to start reading in verse 22. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he's faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Now wait, we have seen that verse time and time and time again. Amen or not? I'm sure Brother Fritz has preached that. Man, it says we are to be faithful, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Wait a minute though. Back up to verse 24. I want you to see something here. And let us consider ourselves. Is that what it says? See, when you're thinking about missing church, he said, don't you dare think about yourself. You think about others. Isn't that what he says? Let us, look at it, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves. Can I help you to understand something right here? Hey, it makes a difference when you're not in your place. It affects everybody else. And especially in a small church. You look around, good night, where are they? Why isn't it important to them? Huh? I said it earlier in Sunday school. I'll get in trouble for it. I say it all over the place. Listen, I don't care if it is opening day of deer season. You got no business being in the woods. You're welcome. Amen. Well, it's baseball season. You don't understand. What in the world are you thinking? Folks, this thing is real. And we're supposed to... I've got an ingrown toenail. It hurts. I can't even put my boot on. My foot. And honey, I'm going to stay home. Who am I considering? Me. I just don't feel good this morning. I get it. There's life. Life is full of not feeling good. Amen or not. Isn't it amazing that we can go to work and not feel good? Well, but yeah, but Brother Scott, I won't get paid if I... What? Huh? So feeling good has to do with money or not? See, I've got to consider the other guy. When it comes to church time, before I miss, I better stop and think about everybody else here. How's it going to affect those kids? Are they going to look and say, man, I wonder where Brother Rex Sr. is. Why isn't he here today? Well, if it's not important to him, I guess it doesn't have to be important to me. See, we don't really stop and think about that, do we? But if we're going to support the work of God, we've got to learn to be faithful to the work. How about this? I've already talked about it, and I'm going to spend time there. But listen, we've got to learn to pray for the work. I mean, spend time. And I'm not talking about, folks, we are in such trouble in our nation, we've got to begin to beg God again for His power and for His help. God, please give us, God, great, give us a great testimony so that we can have great influence in Amboy. Great influence in Dixon. And I don't know all the little towns around here, but good night, nurse. We've got to get people, the people of God again, that people see such great things in us, such great answers to prayer, that man, they cannot help but say, I've got to go down there to First Baptist to see what's going on. Every time I turn around, I hear one of those folks, something else happening exciting in their life. And isn't that all the way it ought to be in Christians' lives? Amen? And we ought to be letting folks know out in the community, man, do you know what happened down at our church? Or do you know what happened in my family? And give God glory because of it. And stay excited about it. Pray. But we are not going to see great things for God until we spend great time on our knees. How about this? We're going to support the work. Got to learn to invest in the work. Back there in Acts chapter 2, it says this, that they had all things common, sold their possessions and goods, and gave to all men as they had need. It's not teaching socialism there. What it is teaching is those folks were so excited about the work. They'd seen folks getting saved. They knew they had to do something. They said, preacher, how can I get involved? Preacher, what can I do to help? And why is it we don't mind trusting God with our soul, but I mean I do. I think people get baptized like this. Huh? I mean, God, you can have everything but the pocketbook. What in the world? Listen, can I be real honest with you? You can trust Him with this. He's more trustworthy than we are. We spend money foolishly, amen. And yet Listen, y'all have heard it time and again. You'll never outgive God. You cannot do it. He will not be obligated to you. You give, He promised. Give, and it shall be. Not it may be, not it might be. It shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Man, just again, 2 days ago, honey, 3 days ago, we were driving. Had we left Arkansas? Leaving Arkansas, going into Missouri, and the phone rings. I didn't recognize the number. I answered it, and hello. Yes, is this Scott Netterville? I said, yes, it is. She said, I just want to know, on your website, there is a donate button. Does that work? I said, yeah, it works. You know, yeah, it works. So she says, all right. And I said, who am I speaking with? And she said, Donna Ray. And I, at the moment, I knew a Donna Ray from way in the past. I'd grown up with her husband, a fellow named Greg, but I wasn't sure, you know, thank you, you know, and hung up. I really felt awkward about the phone call and everything. But then yesterday, I believe it, day before, the phone call we got a week ago, two days ago, I looked, and there's an email that somebody had given $1,000 to the ministry. You don't understand. Why God would take care of us like some guy from, I hadn't seen Greg Ray, I don't know, over 20 years. Saw his mom, I guess, a few months ago, but just out of the blue. And I'll be honest with you, it was needed. But for somebody just to want to invest in the work. Miss Debbie and I aren't anything. I told you earlier, I'm a retarded Texan. I love the Lord. I'm so glad He called me into the ministry. I don't want to do anything else. I honestly do not want to do anything else. But for me to get to travel this nation in a fifth wheel, I've seen parts of the country I've never gotten to see before, meet people I've never got to meet before. And in May, we'll be going to Maine for a month, working with a church plant out there. Never been to Maine. I told the fellow, only way I'm coming is if you buy me a lobster while I'm there. Amen. I get something out of it, amen. But I'm going to get to go to Maine. My wife is scared to death because we're going to have to go through mountains pulling that fifth wheel. You pray for her. And I get it. I told her, get a blindfold and we'll make it. She said, if I get a blindfold, then who's going to watch you while you're driving, amen. But God is taking care of us. I believe because we've just been faithful to invest in the work. I sat down with my pastor the other day. I have not, we've not been in our home church for 7 months until this past Wednesday. In 2018, we were at 4 services in our church. I'll be honest with you, I don't like that. I don't. Man, Brother Angel to me is the greatest preacher. I love my pastor. I want to be there. And then, above all, on all things, I'd called him and told him we're going to be there. and was talking with him about that. He said, well, good. He said, you're going to be here on Wednesday night? Yes, sir. He said, well, why don't you preach Wednesday? I'm thinking, I want to hear you preach. And then I got to get off the phone. I told Debbie, you're going to be mad. She said, what? I said, he asked me to preach Wednesday night. She hears me preach all the time. I'm just trying to make the point, man, if you're faithful to invest in the work of God, he's going to take care of you. He's going to provide. There's not anybody in here that doesn't have bills to take care of. Man, there's things that, honestly, things not only that you need, but all of us have wants too. And can I help you right here? God is for providing your wants. He's all right with that. As long as it doesn't mess you up with your relationship with him. Amen. He doesn't mind you having nice things. He doesn't mind giving. Hey, he's a good parent. Now, let me be honest with you. Because he is a good parent, he's not going to spoil you and give you everything you want. Amen. But there's going to be from time to time, he just drops a little of that want in your lap. Man, it's so good, isn't it? Now, I just want to keep investing. By the way, he said this. He said, lay up treasures in heaven. For moth and rust doth not corrupt. Can I tell you, you're going to meet that giving again one day. But if you're going to support the work, learn to invest in the work. Learn to labor in the work. By the way, not enough laborers. Harvest is plenteous. But the laborers are few. I don't know when your soul winning time is around here. But I'd ask this, why weren't you there last week? Now, I understand, I get it. I just turned 61 a few days ago. I know that is not old. Say amen right there. Y'all didn't say amen, you just laughed. I want to say, I can't get out and knock doors like I used to. Physically, I cannot do it. I get that. And I get the folks that are, you know, they got either your hair's turning gray or it's turning loose. Amen. As you get older, you can't do physically the work that you used to do. I get that. But listen, everybody goes to Walmart. Amen. Isn't that right? Everybody, just about everybody in here go to Walmart. I mean, it's like you know, it's the second place where all independent Baptists meet. And how many of y'all, just be honest, how many of y'all get nervous about passing out tracts? Anybody like that? Listen, let me help you right here. When you go to Walmart, take you a pocket full of tracts, all right? As they are walking out and you're walking in, throw the tract in their bag and run. Amen? Just throw it in there and run. But listen. Those that are getting older, if you notice, as you get older, you go to the doctor more. And appointment times, y'all know what appointment times mean at the doctor's office? Absolutely nothing. That's exactly right. They mean absolutely nothing. So, take your pocket full of tracts. When you get down there, then pull up beside somebody. Amen. Hey, how you doing? My name's Scott. What's your name? Diane. Hey, Diane. It's good to meet you. Let me give you an invitation to church. You go to church anywhere?
Here.
Listen, we'd love to have you come down to First Baptist over there in Amboy. You're supposed to say no. Duh. Trying to ruin my illustration. I'm the one preaching. You stay on my preaching. Man, sit down beside somebody and begin to talk to them. Amen. If they cough on you like Miss Hiss is doing right now, then turn away real quick. And then, if they get up and walk off, follow them. They're not wanting to lose that appointment. Amen. They ain't leaving. Took them too long to get the appointment. No, don't follow them. Don't. That wouldn't be good. But listen, everywhere we go, whether it's to Walmart, whether it's down in the doctor's office, we ought to have us a pocket full of tracts. And being taught. Listen, I don't have to get out and knock doors. By the way, can I tell you this? Soul winning's a lifestyle. It's not just a time and a place. Now, if you can go soul winning, let me just help you right here. Shame on you if you don't come down here and go soul winning when it's soul winning time. You're welcome. Let me help you. Sunday morning, man, we have this big crowd. Sunday night, it's a little bit smaller. Wednesday night's kind of the core people. A soul winning time. Usually it's barely a handful. That ought to be the most important service that we have. By the way, if you can't get out and knock doors physically, why don't you just shut everything down and pray for the ones that are out soul winning? See, they need God's help. They need God's wisdom, God's power. See, folks, the work of God's going on. And He is going to ask you one day, what did you say your name was? Diane?
Yes.
Diane, what did you do for me? You're going to stand there. Now, I don't know how it all is going to work out, but I know He's going to ask you, what did you do? Pastor Fritz not going to be there. Dad's not going to be there. Mom, husband, It's you. And He's going to look you in your God-given eyeball, and He's going to say, what did you do? Now, listen to me. I don't know about you, but I don't want to have to hang my head at that point. I don't want to have to start kicking rocks. I won't be able to stand there and say, look, I wasn't everything I could have been, Lord, but I was faithful. I was faithful. Amen? Let me close. If you're going to support the work, going to have to labor in it. And you're going to have to support the leader. Oh, please. Learn to support your pastor. Praying for him. Loving him. Working with him. Helping him. Heads bowed and eyes.